You have your Bibles with you this morning. If you'd like to turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 3. Chapter 3, I'll be reading verse 20 to 22. And Father, we just ask that I bring forth your word this morning. May anointing be upon this word. May our ears be open to receive it. And may we be strengthened by the hearing your word today. May our faith grow. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. The book of Revelation is Jesus is revealing himself to Brother John. He's on the island of Patmos, been sent away because he's a disciple of Jesus. And they have been convinced that he cannot die, so they put him on the island to separate him from the rest of the people. And there Jesus gave him a revelation of things to take place. Jesus says in verse 20 of chapter 3, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And the second verse for right now is in Philippians 4:13. I'll read it to you. Just keep your fingers there in Revelation. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Okay, and that's Philippians 4:13. And the Word of God says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But back in Revelations, he said, "I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door." So he's showing right away that we are all in control of our own door, our own spirit, our own heart. Okay, every one of us. If we want to even go deeper, we go back to Genesis, and I shared with you before that God gave every one of us here dominion over this world. Nothing can come into this world, or shall I say, God cannot come into this world unless we invite him into it. Amen? Understand that. He gave us dominion. You say, "I wish God would do something." Well, he only do something if we gave him permission to. Okay? Understand? So you hear him knocking a lot on people's doors to get into situations. So if you have a situation today, invite God into it. Allow him to come into your situation. And then allow him to give you instructions on how to handle the situation. A lot of times he gives us instructions, but we don't want those instructions. We want something easier. We want something different. But we got to learn to trust God and trust his word. But he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and be with me." So he says, "Let me in," but you can keep him out. That's your choice. Okay? That's that free will that we have. And Philippians says, "I can do all things through Christ. He strengthens me." So that takes away any excuse we have as a Christian. We can never say, "I just can't do that." Amen? Because if we say, "I just can't do that," then who we're calling a liar? We're calling the Lord a liar. Okay? So a lot of times it's not that, "Oh, I can't do that." It's, "Well, I really don't want to do that, Joe. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to do that." You know, we just need to be honest with ourselves at times, because God can deal with someone who's honest. Amen? He can deal with that. And we saw that a few weeks ago in here. But we try to kid ourselves, we only hurt ourselves. We can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. These two scriptures are for our encouragement, just like all the other words that have been penned in this book. We will be without excuse on that day when we answer for all that we have done, either good or bad, because of all that God has instructed us to do, or what he has instructed us not to do, he has provided us the strength to do as he says. Amen? So he gives us instructions. He shows us what to do, what not to do. He tells us of the penalties, either way, rewards or penalties. And then he gives us the strength through Christ Jesus to overcome or do anything that we want to, what we are called to do, or to put away any temptation that comes our way. Remember, He has only our best in mind. He only wants us to overcome the temptation of this world. So let's always keep that in mind as we look into His Word. Now, today, and this message will probably continue on to next week also, but I'll keep that in mind that His Word is given to you, given to me, for our benefit, okay? And as a follower of Jesus Christ, it's up to us to yield ourselves to His Word and do as He says. Amen? It's plain and simple. Do as a, how many of us can testify that as a kid growing up, if I would have listened to more of my parents and not myself, I would have got myself out of a lot more trouble. I would have been, I've been less in the principal's office, less time been hunted by the cops back in those days. If I would have listened, then He had the best for me. And that's the way God is today for every one of us here. He only has the best for us. But it's up to us to listen and then do what He says to do. The last few months here in America, we have seen more and more destruction, both at the hands of man and at the hand of nature. And I just heard this morning, this past month in Baltimore, they had a record of 40 homicides, murders in Baltimore, and it's just getting worse. And more we hear of kidnappings and just the things that people are doing to one another. Devastation that we have never seen here before is taking place. Man's heart is definitely growing cold. And God, His Word was given to us warning about this. We've read this before. I want you to read it again today. Matthew 24:12. We got a lot of scriptures in the next couple of weeks. Again, the Word of God is for our benefit. And I know you might say, well, Pastor, you read that a couple of months ago. Well, it still applies today. And the last thing we want to do is have the Word of God read it once and think, okay, we heard that. It's over with. What's the next passage? This is the reason why things have taken place in the United States as they have never done before. This is why at night you might find it hard at times to lay your head down to rest without praying, seeking God's peace because of the things you saw during the day or heard of. But Matthew 24th chapter, verse 12, Matthew pins this at what the Lord said. He said, and because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And He said, most people's love will grow cold. Okay? Are you a people?
Yeah.
Was you birthed? Then you're a people. So He is talking to us that most people's love will grow cold. So we know that the chances of our heart growing cold, love for one another is possible. We have to make sure it does not take place. Amen? Nobody wants a cold heart, do you? No. I mean, Jesus is love. And if our heart gets cold, we're part of the world. We'll lose compassion. We'll lose everything that the Master is. So He gives us a warning up front. Men's heart will grow cold. Now we see the world's heart getting worse and worse. We see the evil one having, man, he is having a heyday, not just in the United States, but around the world. He has got people on the run. He's got Christians shaking their knees. He's got people about ready to give up. But I tell you today, Satan is a liar, is he not? So when he says there's no hope in your situation, he's lying to you. When he tells you there's no sense praying to a God that you can't see, he's lying to you. Okay? His time is short. And what he is trying to do is divide people and divide people and divide people more and more and more. And if he can destroy the family unit, he will win. If he can destroy the family unit the way God created it, he will win. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And we need to stand up for what is right and share through love what is wrong. We need to be vocal. We need to share the differences in the way the world is today and what the Word of God says. You are the voice of our Lord. Amen? Amen. You're His hands. Amen? Amen. You're His feet. Amen? Amen. He lives in you. Amen? Amen. He wants control of you. The only way He'd say anything today, if we open our mouths up and allow Him to speak through us. Right. Now don't get deceived. Don't let Satan say, oh, you must be a God. We're not a God. There's only one God. But He's our Father in heaven. Jesus Christ lives within us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to proclaim the gospel, to share that. And sometimes we say, oh, I wish somebody would do something. Sometimes it's us. It's our own self supposed to do something. Our voices do make a difference. We have to understand that. Don't let Satan ever tell you to keep your mouth shut. You're only one person. God gave you a voice. Amen. A lot of things can be changed. You know, hostilities between people can change. One word. Satan will say, well, they'll never forgive you. Oh, you can't forgive them. He's a liar. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. And the continuing verse 12 there in chapter 24. And you will be hearing of wars in chapter verse 6. Wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. For those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Now, Luke, when he penned this, he added a little bit more description to it. I'll share that with you. It's in Luke 21, verse 11. And as he continues, he says, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Okay, God is giving us the signs of the return of Christ, that these things will take place. Why? Because men's hearts are growing cold. Why? Because the world is turning away from God. Why? Because we are yielding ourselves to the evil one. And for us, you know, we are stuck in a degree here in America in what we call political correctness. Okay? You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. You'll find where the master, he spoke the truth. Doesn't matter what it was, what political party it was. He didn't care if it was the Pharisees or Sadducees. He spoke the truth out of love. So we have that taking place today. And look at it. Look at Texas. Look at Japan. Was it like yesterday? Almost an 8.4 earthquake. Alaska had one. 7-something off the East Coast. It's taking place more and more. And as America, we use our own self as a barometer. Oh, it must be coming quickly because look at what's happening. Look around the world, folks. You know, I think you know the Bible says that until the gospel is preached around the world, the Lord won't come back. We're almost there now. Well, devastation and persecution of the churches and stuff, I think America might be the last stop. Everybody else already had it. Right. And we were so blessed as a God-fearing nation over these 200 centuries. You and I are living off the investment of our forefathers. And that is running out. I believe that we are the sign of God's return very, very soon. Famines, not just famine of the land, but famine for the Word of God. More and more people do not want to hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? I mean, they want to hear something to tickle their feet with. That they want to go to a doctor and have them tell them they are fine, even when they're very sick. Isn't that right? How many times do we go to a doctor and we don't tell them all the symptoms? Yeah. He's a doctor, he can figure it out. Okay? Because we don't want to know, but God wants us to know. He wants us to know these signs. He wants us to be prepared that He has allowed us to live in these days to share the gospel and to allow the Word of God to not just share but to live in our life. Again, the doctor can tell me all the time to go on a diet, lose 50 pounds, quit eating donuts, or quit drinking pop. And he can sit right there and drink pop, eat donuts. Why is he telling me that? Okay? Well, you ever have a doctor tell you to quit smoking and you see him out back smoking a cigarette? Okay? It's easy to say one thing. As Christians or as believers in the Lord, it's easy to tell people what to do. But it's a whole different thing when we do it ourselves. And we need to do it ourselves. We need to be a living example. We need to be a living example of the Word of God. Our voices, our actions, what we do, our time, our finances, our fellowship. We need to be that example of Jesus Christ to the world. If we want people to take us serious, if we want them to believe in a God of all creation, believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, to believe that He is the one that takes away the sins of the world, that through Christ all things are possible. If we want them to believe that, then we got to allow that to take place in our own lives. We got to live the gospel, amen? To allow it to take root in our life. But these are the signs and the floods and the sickness, disease, the turkey infection. Now we got pigs being infected. That's our food. You know, we got floods, which is going to destroy our crops. It's destroying lives. All kind of things are taking place, and He gave us these signs to look forward to. Not glad that they're happening, but showing us that hey, listen, these ages is coming to an end quickly. Not the end of the world, but the end of this age. And what's the difference, preacher? Well, just last week, and a lot of your folks might have kids or grandkids, just finished one age and entered another. Some graduated from kindergarten to first grade. Some have gone from 8th grade now into high school, and some has gone to college. Some are going to the workforce. That one age has come to the end, and a new age is starting. That's taking place now. The world is not going to end with the return of Christ. Okay? We got at least 1,007 years if the Lord would come back today and get the church out of here. But the end of this age, and this age right now, the age of the Gentile. Any of us who are not Jews, okay? Any of us who are not Jews are Gentiles. And the gospel went to the Jewish people first. They rejected it. And they come to us. And very shortly, the gospel given to us is going to be dried up. The church will be out of here. The Holy Spirit will be removed with us as we leave. And it'll be the day again for the Jewish people to hear the gospel. And that will be, that's coming very, very quickly. And the dispensation of the Holy Spirit will be done with us. But last week, in the church here, our sister here gave testimony how she was reconciled with her aunt after 30 years of separation. Praise God, they were brought back together. Now, I'm not sure what separated them, and I'm not inquiring, just praising God that the differences were removed. After 30 years, they were removed. Now, I thought of this past week. When report after report came in from Texas, from the area talking about loss of life and destruction of property. And one story stands out to me. I don't know if I can quote it completely the way it took place, but I'm going to share the best part of it I can. This lady and her family was vacationing in Texas, and I believe her children were with her, and maybe her husband. And they were in their vacation home, enjoying life. Expectation probably a barbecue that evening, what we're going to do the next day. And all of a sudden, that house was swept away with the floods. She and the family is still in the house. And the story went on that she had called, that she had enough time that she called, I believe on her cell phone, called her sister to tell her goodbye and to tell mom that she loved her. That quickly, all of their differences, if they had any at all, wherever they may have been, were forgiven, if not already forgotten. I wonder if her and her husband had a fight the day before. Maybe they weren't speaking to one another, or the list of could go on and on. But that moment in time, that moment in their lives, all that did not matter at that time. 30 seconds before death. All that petty stuff, all that stuff that separated people meant nothing. And God speaks to us today, so what is the pettiness in our lives that's separating us from fellowship and loving one another? As Christians, as brothers and sisters, as mother, as father, as siblings. What is that thing right now that it's inside of us? Oh, I'll never forgive. I'll never forget. Man, it is killing us, guys. It's killing your testimony. It's killing your prayer life. It's killing it when you say, oh, hey, let's pray. It's shutting you down. Man, look at that. Floating down the river. Destruction. You know, you only got a few seconds left. We don't know what will come to tomorrow. We are followers of Christ. He's given us the power that through Him, He strengthened us. You can forgive and you can forget. It's your choice. You can forgive and you can forget. Many of us hang on to things that need to be forgiven and forgotten. We need to put it aside. Life is too short. We might say, well, maybe next week. Well, maybe next month. I'm not quite ready yet. Next week, I'll call Joe up and I'll apologize to him. But by gosh, he sat in my seat twice at the church in a row. And I just, he knew that I sit there. Okay? It sounds like people do that. You know that? People do that. They get upset because somebody sits in their chair. Oh, my lands. Laugh, but that's how Satan gets in there. Yeah. Satan will say this, Paul. You know, he sit there. Paul knows I sit there all the time. He don't like me. You know why? Accidentally, but in 5th grade, I gave him a fat lip. It was. Remember that? It was an accident. Praise God it was. That's why he was thumping me. But he's sworn against me. He's sitting in my place right now. Just because he's trying to get back at me. Well, I won't talk to him no more. That quick, Satan, can he not? Satan get there that quick and start, oh man, jumping down our throat and causing us. You know, we should all praise God that me and Paul are in church together. Who ever thought that years ago? Nobody. No, nobody. That's why we have to look at one another and rejoice. When we see someone doing something that offends us, that we think, oh, I don't think that's right, and they're in church, praise God they're in church.
Amen.
Praise God they're in church. Praise God they're in fellowship. Amen. Praise God that they can be changed just like we are changed, and we are still being changed. Amen? Amen. But there's no room in the house of God for unforgiveness. No room in the house of God for unforgiveness. We can carry around different things, work on different things, but unforgiveness is not one of them. It has to be removed. It cannot stay in the church. That will defeat the church. And I'm not just talking about the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. We need to forgive. We need to seek out. Well, I don't really forgive him, Steve. I just won't talk to him more. And then you're not doing what God told you to do. Are you? He says to forgive. If people are available to you, to go to them and say, listen, forgive me what I did to you. Ask them. If they're not available, that's one thing. Say, God, forgive me. Or, for those who did things to you, forgive them. Well, they never asked me. They might never ask you. Jesus never said, for those who ask you to forgive, forgive. No. He says, forgive. How many people nailing Jesus to the cross said, oh, Jesus, forgive me when I get done with this. Not one. Not one. Jesus chose to forgive. And folks, we need to, the body of Christ needs to be strengthened. We need to be all that we can be for the Lord. And by doing so, He will do signs and wonders. You'll see things take place in your household, in your family, in your children, and your children and children. You'll see things take place that you thought was never ever possible, that they were a lost cause, that no way they'll ever get off drugs or ever do this or do that or change their lifestyle around. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? But we have to be willing to allow Him to work through us and apply that word to our own lives. And we're like, forgive. Forgive one another. Forgive, He says. For a moment, put yourself in that house. Who is it that you would want to reach out to ask for forgiveness or to offer forgiveness? Do it now. Let nothing hold you back from what God wants to do for you. Allow Him complete access to your life, keeping Him from any area. Not keeping from any area of your life. And I shared in the beginning here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and be with him. He overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. So he who overcomes the temptations of life, these who come overcome the thing that Satan tried to bring back upon us, those who come overcome insults, anything that's been thrown your way, overcome that in the name of Jesus Christ. I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are in control. We are in control. Your own destiny. You decide whether the Word of God is going to be pertinent to your life or not. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, that Word has to motivate you. It has to cause you to yield to it. Do not ever pick and choose what you want to listen to, what you're going to obey or not obey. Hear me, guys? Don't. There's things in there you think, oh, I can't do that. You can. Because if you say you can't do it, then you're calling Christ a liar. But say, God, I can't do this without you. You've got to give me the strength to forgive. You have to give me the strength to forget. And as we read what Christ did for us, what more do we need? But remember, each one of us is in charge of your house, of your life. I can't blame anyone else for the things that I allow in my life or the things that I allow to stay in my life. It's up to me. I have an illustration this morning I want to share with you. If you just bear with me for a moment. You know, I like to illustrate, I believe, that I want people, when you leave here the day, that you take with you something that helps you visualize what God is trying to do in our lives. So just give me a second here. My brother Steve is sitting in this morning because today is Jack Slaughter's birthday. I was hoping to have him down and had a party planned for him. So, what I want to do... this is my party that I plan today. So happy birthday to you, Steve.
Well, thank you.
Everybody has a birthday every year, so we'll just celebrate yours right now. And I decided to have a party for you. It's my party. I got my friend here, and we're going to have a party. And go away! I don't want...
Maybe
quit not... I don't want him here. Get away from me. I don't care how many times he knocks on my door. I don't want him to come in here.
But it's my party.
It's your party, but I'm in control of it. I have a say who comes to this party and who doesn't come to this party. See, right now I'm in control. Amen. It's my party. I'm putting it on. I invited a guest that I'm very familiar with. I had this person all my life in here. Now out here, Joe is looking in, trying to get in. But I don't want you here, man. You know, no, I don't. Mm-mm. I don't want you here, man. Yeah, just go away. I'll decide who comes in. See, I have control of this. I'll decide. This is my party for Brother Steve. This is my guest I invited. I have no more room around my table here for anybody else coming to this party. So, I want to tell you happy birthday. I appreciate all that you've done. Go away.
He has something.
Well, he's got a present this time, don't he? Oh, wow. That's different here. Just give me your present. I don't want you at all. Don't give it to me. Just give me the present.
No. I'm not going to.
He won't give me the present. He brought it here. I don't want him. I want the present. All right, just come inside the church. You just stand right here.
Okay, but I don't want to.
You stay here. Give me the.
No.
I have no room for you around the table. It's occupied. Just give me the present.
No. It's mine. No.
Listen, at least I invited you in. I told you to stand in the corner. Can I at least have the present now?
No.
So you ain't going to give it to me unless you're sitting around the table, unless I invite you to the party, huh?
That's right. I want to go to the party. I like the party.
Well, I'll tell you, because the only way you can sit around this table, you're going to help me get rid of this thing here that I invited.
But it's ugly.
Well, you help me. You help me. You sit your present down there. But you're going to help me remove it, otherwise I'd have no room for you around my party. I almost killed this thing earlier anyway. So here, pick it up. Let's take it outside. You better get rid of it. Since you got to be here, you got to have your place around the table. We got to be invited in the party. Just can't give a present. All right, bring your present. No. All right, I get rid of that old friend of mine I had for years and years. Sit down at the party. Not in my chair. You sit in that chair. I tell you what. So you persisted. You kept beating on the door. You had a present, but you know you had to bring it yourself. Okay, so here you are. You got a present for Steve? Go ahead and give it to him.
No.
No?
I'd rather have a piece of cake.
You want a piece of cake, huh? Oh, well, we're not going to have cake yet. It's still my part. I invited you in. Take a bite of your cake first, Steve. Go ahead, just take a little bite of it. There. Okay, now, you have the present. We allow Joe to come in. After knocking, do you want to come into my party? I'm having for you. He brought you a present. Now, go ahead and open it up.
Give it to him?
Yep, go ahead and give it to him. There.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Caramels. Woo-wee.
this is special.
Oh, wow. The Daily Bible. Amen. There, you got your present. Joe's invited. He's in the party now. Are you happy? He's happy. Hey, I get rid of my friend. I had to make room for Joe. Now, what the Lord is showing us here is this. This is my party. I have control of it. I decide who comes in and who leaves. When I started the party, I had my brother here, a friend here, and I had an old friend of mine sitting around here I've known for years and years and years. Joe wanted to come in, but the only way Joe would come in with his present is if he was seated at the party. So I get rid of my old friend and give him a seat. And because of that, Steve's life was touched with her presence. And inside that Word of God, you'll find peace and joy. It's the same way today in our lives. When the Lord says, I stand at the door and knock. If you're open, I'll come in and fellowship with you. Before I stand at the door and knock, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will dine with him and he with me. See, I heard him knocking. How many people heard Joe out there knocking?
Yeah.
We all heard him out there. You know, he's trying to get my attention. Hey, let me in, let me in, let me in. I don't want nothing to do with him. I didn't. But then later on, I saw that he had a present. Oh, my. Well, I'll just have him come in. Well, first of all, I try to get the present without it, huh? I had to invite you in order to get the present.
Right.
Same with God in our life. We want the Lord. We want the blessings, but not the blesser. And what we find ourselves getting into, he's knocking on our heart and we say, oh, you come in. But God, stand over here. I want your presence. Give me your presence, but I don't want your presence.
Right.
And God says, okay, wait a second, it don't work that way. If you want me, you want my presence, you invite me into your life. And what did we have to do, Joe? And Joe helped me do this. He helped me carry out an old thing that I had for years and years. It was cute, it was cuddly, but it had nothing to do with my life that I want to live. It could be anything right now that's occupying your life that you're hanging on to instead of Jesus. He wants to come in your life and carry out what's hindering. Carry out that unforgiveness. Carry out that whatever it is in your life today. He wants access totally to the party. And you have control over that. Everybody, see, I tried to get Joe to stand over here, stand over there. I tried to get everything. That way I can say, hey, I had Joe Cooker at my party. You know, I had Joe Cooker at my party the other day. I had for Steve. I'm a great guy. I had Joe Cooker there. I'm going to throw the name of Joe around. But I did not want his presence at my party. Why? Well, he makes you look bad. He's a better dresser than I am. He's better looking than I am. And so I don't like to be around him because he draws attention away from me. It's the same way we have with the Lord. We want his presence. We don't want to go in heaven. We want to figure that, oh man, I'll be in heaven. But we don't want him involved in our life. We don't allow him to take the things out of our life that's hindering us. We want to hang on the old ways. We want Christ the same way. And it doesn't work that way. It has to be 100%. Either Joe's coming in, everything, or he's not coming in at all. Now I can, in my own mind, I can let Joe stand back in the corner. In my own mind, oh man, I got Joe Cooker in here. I got Joe Cooker here. But it doesn't do any good until I allow him here, access to the table, to the party. In the same way in our lives with Jesus. We may have said, oh Lord, come into my life and forgive me. And he starts to come in, oh wait, Lord, no. You can't come in that area of my life. That's my Friday night, Daryl. You can't go in that area of my life, Lord. I have every reason in the world not to forgive that person. Oh, it didn't work that way. He needs every access to every part of our life. We have to yield ourselves to him. Allow him to come in. And he'll bring his presence. He brings peace and joy. He's a counselor. All that he brings with him in the Holy Spirit. But he has that too. Oh, you want to blow out the candles, buddy?
I can make a wish.
May you be blessed. But just like Joe needs access to the party itself, Jesus needs access to every part of your life. And folks, when it says in the Bible, again, when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he means it. It says, this is the same way of Jesus. We may want his presence, but not his presence in our lives, and it doesn't work that way. First, as the scripture says, he knocks to gain entry, and it's up to us to allow him in to every part of our life. You have an area right now that, man, is just cluttered. Allow him in. Let the word of God speak to you. Get rid of it. Get rid of whatever that thing haunting you. If it's unbelief, if you say, well, pastor, pray that I have more faith. I can't pray that you have more faith. Faith comes by how? Hearing by the word of God. So I'll pray that you have more time, that you take more time to listen to the word. But when we do, we need to allow him to do what he needs to do to share those presents he has for us, like peace, joy, and comfort. I may have been encouraged to allow Joe into our party, and maybe I did just to brag that Joe Cooker came to my party. I didn't know sometimes some things had to be removed in order to get Joe around the table, but eventually I allowed Joe to remove the stuffed animal, which was always only taking up space and wasn't helping the party one bit. And the things in our lives right now taking up space ain't helping us one bit. Well, we did it this way. We've done it this way for 30, 40 years. I've done this way since me and Carol have been married. We do this way. It's not doing one thing for you. In fact, it's taking away the time that God wants to spend with you. It's time to have God remove those from your life. Well, it might be the same way with us in our relationship with Jesus. You may have invited him into your life just because someone told you you needed to be saved, or you heard he brings presence with them, but you didn't know you had to make room for him into your life. And that is the key. As Jesus comes in, he will remove stuff that is blocking from you what he has planned for you. He will, through the Holy Spirit, give you strength to remove and overcome, but it's up to us to allow it. We need not just to hear the word, but be doers of the word. Amen? James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 tells us, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Don't just hear the word. Do the word. Maybe you can quote every verse in the Bible. But if you're not allowing it to influence the way you live your life, it's not doing any good. Now I ask you, who is the Word? It is, of course, Jesus Christ. So it is saying, just don't listen to what Jesus said to do. Do it also. And John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Remember, God created us. He is the expert. He knows how to fix us, restore us, strengthen us, forgive us, encourage us, console us, bring us a peace, and enter a joy. All we have to do is place our faith and trust in him by following his word. Say that. By following his word. By following his word. Now, we are without excuse. We know what to do. We just need now to allow him to do it. Allow him to strengthen us. How often we only want to follow his word when it is convenient with us, or when his word upholds what we want to do. You know, it says, woman, submit to your husbands. You know, we want to quote that one verse to go on. That's one of the most misquoted verses there is in the Bible. But it's convenient to us husbands, amen? Amen. Amen. When we look at his word for guidance and it tells us what we are doing is wrong, well, we want to throw that out and continue on, and that is where we mess up big time. When we read the Word of God, it says, man, that is sin. We won't overlook that. And God, well, hey, let's get this out of your life. You want a powerful prayer life? Let's get this sin out of your life. You want things in your life to be different? You want your household to be different? Amen. Get rid of the sin out of the house. Amen? Amen. Well, give me an amen, woman. Amen. Thank you. I'll take that one. God knew we would allow our flesh to raise up against what the Spirit tells us to do. So God, in all his wisdom, shared this with us. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways obey his word. That is the key. Obey his word. He only wants the best for you and for me. Amen? Only wants the best. It may be scary at times, and to you it may not make much sense, but we have to remember he knows what he is doing, to let the master do it without our interference. He says to do it, do it. If you have something in your life right now that causes you to sin, get rid of it. Amen? You got something that's stumbling block in your life right now? Do what me and Joe did. Carry it outside and get rid of it. Don't be afraid of that. Fear God more than you fear the person next to you. Fear God, the one who judges the soul and the body. Don't let somebody sit beside you or your neighbor or a relative to scare you into doing stuff you're not supposed to do. Amen? There's a penalty for that. Well, number one, it's separation from God. Sin separates you from God. I've been born again. Sin separates you from God. It's no different if I took liquid plumber back here and unplugged a grease trap back there. Boom, it's running free. If I pack it full of grease again, is she going to be plugged again? Yes. I need more liquid plumber to get it out. When we sin, it plugs up our communications to God. We need to repent, seek forgiveness, and turn away from it and go on. Hear what God says today. Them little things in our lives, man, they're destroying what God wants to do in our life. We have to be strong. We have to put Him first, knowing what He said for us to do. To do it. You guys are comfortable there, aren't you? You're pretty good there, okay. I got one more illustration. I'll close for the day. Now imagine, you're in your house, and you smell smoke. And you look around, and guys, your wife's not cooking, okay? And just seeing a little bit of smoke coming from a wall, you see it. Oh man, it's the smoke there. Well, you're not sure what's going on, so you call the local fire department. The firemen arrive, and you invite them into your home. Now these are professionals, having been trained for hundreds of hours, and have fought hundreds, maybe thousands of fires. They know what they are doing, and of course you trust them, or otherwise you would not have called them. So you trust them to come in my house. As they quickly examine your home, they discover there is a fire behind the living room wall, and they will have to knock down the wall to put it out. When they tell you this, you go crazy. What? You'll knock down my wall? This is a little bit of smoke. You say something like, it's just a little smoke, and you're telling me you got to knock down the wall, living room wall? Ain't no way, buddy. Well, you got to be crazy. A little bit of smoke. Even though you're being very rude and are upset at what the fireman told you, yet he continues to tell you, listen, it might just be a little smoke to you right now. But you see, that is a sign of something much worse is taking place. If you don't allow us to tear down this wall and put out this fire, this little smoke you see now will consume your whole house and it will be destroyed. There you go. These experts that you invited into your home, who is trained on fighting fires and have fought thousands, have now laid all their wisdom at your feet. It's your house. There's nothing more they can do until you tell them, okay, do what you have to do to save my house. Now by allowing the firemen to do what they are trained to do, your house is saved, and now it can be repaired. Proverbs 4:20 and verse 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Wow. That little bit of smoke in that house, to us, that's nothing. But to a trained fireman, they know the dangers that is going to escalate and it'll take your whole house out. Folks, it's the same way that little sin in your life. It's just a little sin. Folks, there's no such thing as a little sin. When something has a title of death, it's not small. Wages of sin is death, separation from God now and for eternity. That's what sin has. That's power it has. And a little sin today that you might be involved with, you say, that's not hurting anyone. It is. You got a fire going on there. It's not you, not just you, it's those around you. Are we igniting someone else's walls by the smoke we're allowing to exist in our life? Meaning, am I teaching someone else to live in sin the way I live my life? Or you look at me, Daryl, and say, well, pastor's doing it, I can do that. And if it's sin for me, it's sin for Daryl, right? Right. We got to allow Christ total access to our house, to our life. Let Him show you where the smoke is. And allow Him to remove that. Well, it might be upsetting for a little bit. It'd be devastating. Cindy, have that wall tore down that Buck built for you. But you'd rather lose a small wall, keep the house, and lose the whole thing. That's the same way in our life today. It might have been hard for me and Jerry to carry out my buddy. I've had this thing wherever it was. I think it was a sheep. All my life, per se. I'm attached to it. Well, no, I got to get rid of it. If I want Joe here, I get rid of him. If I want Christ in my life, I got to allow him to carry the stuff out of my life. I can't have him in my life both. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt when he removes it. It will. Folks, when friends of yours are removed from your life because you keep falling in temptation with them, and God scoots on down the road a little bit, it might hurt that separation, but God's looking out for your best. And you got to understand that. You allow God to come in and do what he needs to do. Because these days, man, he's got some powerful things he wants the church to do. For you. For me. For your neighbors. For your relatives. But we have to be willing to yield ourselves to him completely. They clean us up, Lord. Have total access to my life. And he knocks on the door that will allow him in. Total access. Because he didn't say in the scripture that as I knock on the door, if you let me in your mud room, let me come in and we'll sup. Sup means to eat, to dine. You know how intimate dining is? I mean, look at the stuff you discuss around the dining room table. When you're eating meals, you talk about your day and your wishes and your wants. Right. And you even plan for the next day. That's what God wants. He was around the table as a youngster, maybe a young man, and you ask Dad for wisdom on something that's coming up you got to do. And Dad shares that wisdom with you. God's the same way. Seek, ask, and we shall find. Amen? I'll just leave you with, remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, your word went out this morning, your illustrations, God. We just thank you, Father. And help us now, God, as we look around. What is it in our lives that we're hanging on to that you want to remove? What is it that's stopping us to being all that you want us to be? Father, we know that times it might be painful for things that you have to remove. But God, we want to please you 100%. We're only here temporarily. We just read the scripture that the signs are there of your returning very soon. And Father, just like we have prepared our hearts and surrendered our lives to you, we want to help reach others and share the love that God has for all of us. Father, we seek you for strength through the Holy Spirit. We seek you for more wisdom. And Father, we hear your word today. May it continue to build our faith, knowing that when we hear the scriptures, they're given to us for our own good and for the good of others. So God, may these words today be sealed into our spirit, and the Holy Spirit bring it back to us in the weeks to come, that we may be encouraged and to encourage one another, and help us through you to forgive and to be forgiven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.